Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
On NBC Sports Washington, remember, coming up Sunday morning at 11, you can join me and Cakes at Tyson's Beer Garden. Sports Junkies pregame show before Redskins Saints. They've got three floors, 17 TVs, over 100 beers, 18 wings for $8. It's a great spot to come out, hang out, watch the Redskins take on the New Orleans Saints. Get more details at thefandc.com/events.
If you don't like wings, well, I mean, everybody likes wings, but if you want something different, I believe their Sunday special, unless they shake it up, is a cheeseburger.
Nice. Yes.
It's very
good. It's a half-pound cheeseburger.
It's
a big,
sizable.
Healthy burger.
Yes. So we'll see you at Tyson's Beer Garden this Sunday. It's been a great host for Washington Game Day Uncensored.
You know when you order from the menu, you go up to the counter,
mm-hmm.
and the last time I went up there, I just hit bratwurst, right?
Okay, yeah.
And then the girl behind the counter said, you have to pick two different types of
meat.
I
do like sausage.
So I had bratwurst.
Okay.
And then I did kielbasa.
All right.
And then when it came out, I have no idea which was which.
But they were both delicious. So what does it matter? But,
well, one was better.
Ah,
but
okay.
I don't know which one was better. Like, if next time I might say two kielbasa.
Right.
Or I'd say two bratwurst, but I still have no clue.
Okay. Gotcha. I just keep sauerkraut on it, dip it in mustard. They all taste basically the same to me. All taste great.
I mean, they're all fancy versions of a hot dog is the way I look at it.
Pretty much. They're tubed meats.
Or fancy versions of a sausage.
Yeah, that's what they are.
All right, we've got Kevin joining us at 7 to talk some movies. J.P. Finley, give us the latest on the Redskins at 7:20. But right now, let's open up the Junkie Sports page.
Caps fall to the Colorado Avalanche 6-2 last night. Grubby allows 6 goals on 28 shots. Former Capital Semyon Varlamov turns away 28 of 30 cap shots for the win. Grubby, his numbers on the season are pretty gruesome. 0-5-1.
Oof.
He's got a 3.86 goals against average and a .876 save percentage. So things are not going well for Grubby when he takes the net.
The other theme, and I happened to watch one of the intermission reports, is that they start slow. And then last night was another game.
They're
they started slow. I heard Trotz talk about it afterwards. He said they were lethargic and looked lazy at the beginning of the game. He was not a happy camper.
If you could go to the window in Vegas and bet on who scores first, Caps or fill-in-the-blank opponent, you would always pick the opponent this season.
Well, did they give up a goal 17 seconds in?
It's been a bad habit for the Capitals.
It's unbelievable. Wow.
That's pretty rough.
Here's the thing. I tend to think, and this is a pretty rudimentary thought, but I tend to think that the goalies, they kind of are where they are. They're going to have their ups and their downs, obviously. But they're only as good as the guys in front of them. And the guys in front of them must not be performing. Because it was just the game before where Holtby gave up 6. And they were actually praising him after the first period.
Well, the defense is young. They have guys like Bowie, you know, stepping in. And guys like Orpik are logging heavy ice time minutes this year. Carlson, I think, is playing like 26 or 27 minutes a game.
So they had kind of gathered themselves a little bit, and they had won 4 of 5 or 5 of 6 before this recent little slide here. So let's not panic too much yet.
Maybe no, there's no reason to panic. Eventually, Grubby's going to get a win.
Yeah, I don't care about Grubby. I'm just saying in general for the team. Look, you can't just blame Grub. They gave up 6 with Holtby in.
The team's not as good as it's been. That's what everybody said going into the season. The coach pretty much said it was going to be different this season. It's going to be an uphill battle.
Through the end of November, they have 5 of 6 on home ice against Minnesota, Calgary, Ottawa, Tampa Bay, and the Kings. And their one road date left is at Toronto right after Thanksgiving. So let's see if the 5 of 6 on home ice helps them in the standings a bit. Because they've had a weird schedule where I think the first month or month and a half, they didn't have consecutive games at home.
Mm-hmm.
They play one game at home, then go on the road, play like a game or two on the road, come back home for one. Now they finally have some sort of extended homestand coming up. See if they can get a rhythm.
What's their record right now, you said?
They're 10-9-1.
It's amazing. They're about a quarter of the way through.
Yeah.
Isn't it sick?
It's kind of crazy. The NHL season's flying by the way it is. But
life
the Caps,
flies by.
Caps with a dud last night in Colorado. Week 11 kicked off last night in the NFL in Pittsburgh. The Steelers dominated the Titans, outscored them 24-10 in the second half. Pittsburgh wins 40-17. The Steelers improved to 8-2 on the season in the AFC North. That is your division leader.
Do they strike you as a Super Bowl team, though?
No.
They don't to me either.
I mean, they're you know, a top, relatively weak AFC, but I didn't look at them once last night and say, wow, this is an overpowering team. I'm really impressed by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Even though they hung 40 on the Titans, that was more because, I mean, Mariota's just throwing the ball up for grabs, four picks in the game last night.
Now, one thing they highlighted last night is, I believe, most of their early schedule had been on the road.
Yeah, they're 5-1 on the road.
And Ben struggles on the road. They may end up with the best record in the AFC. It's them in New England.
They're 5-1 on the road.
His home road splits are they're stark when you look at them over his career. He plays much better at Heinz than he does on the road.
But, and I think the Martavis Bryant situation has settled down now. Now they've got three stud receivers in Brown, Schuster, and Bryant.
Well, they have a fourth stud receiver. His name's Le'Veon Bell.
Yes.
A guy catches a ton of balls out of the backfield. He didn't have a huge impact last night. Didn't find the end zone, but I want to say
100 yards combined.
I think Bell had 8 or 9 grabs out of the backfield. So Ben was 30 of 45, 299 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks on the night. Antonio Brown with a monster fantasy night, 10 grabs, 144 yards, 3 touchdowns, including one where he basically pinned the ball against his helmet to bring it in and corral it for 6 points. And Mariota, we touched on, threw 4 picks. He was sacked 5 times.
Look,
in the loss.
Anything they can get from their offense is gravy. Their defense is only giving up 16 points a game.
Yep. You know who one of the studs on their defense is? I think he's a second or third year player. He's a Terp. Sean Davis, the safety. That guy makes a lot of plays.
How's J.J. Watt's brother doing?
He blocked a field goal last night.
He started out the season on fire.
Pretty
I know
good.
That. Yeah.
He's an impactful guy there for
is
the Steelers.
T.J. Watt?
It's... what is it? I think it is T.J. Watt. I think you're right. Definitely saw him flash last night.
Yeah, it's T.J.
Celtics topped the Warriors 92-88, winning their 14th straight game. The Warriors were held to 40% shooting in the loss.
I thought they were supposed to suck after Gordon Hayward went down. All they've done is won 14 straight. Lost their first two.
Jaylen Brown's really good, and Jason Tatum's pretty good, and Kyrie Irving, he's not going to win the MVP, but they were chanting MVP at the Garden.
Curry and Thompson struggled from the field last night, 8 for 32 from the floor. All 5 Celtics starters scored at least 12 points in the win.
Well, it's the best offense in the league, Golden State, against the best defense in the league, the Boston Celtics, and they clamped down on Golden State down the stretch. I mean, to hold Golden State to, what was it, 88 points, something like that?
Yep.
92-88. Warriors.
That had to be an under by a lot. I would have assumed the over-under there is well north of 200.
But again, I mentioned this at the top, Charles Barkley at the halftime report. I tuned in right around halftime, and the Celtics were trailing by 5 at the time. I think they trailed by as much as 15 in the first half. He said, I've seen this team play 5 or 6 times. I'm not that impressed. They better be worried about Toronto and the Wizards.
I like that he gives
what he said.
I like that he gives the Wizards a lot of shine.
I like that
about Chuck.
He's been pro-Wiz for a few years now, I feel like.
Definitely last season.
Yeah.
I don't remember 2 years ago.
Other NBA news, Houston pwns Phoenix 142-116. James Harden, another ho-hum night for him, 48 points and 7 helpers. Chris Paul returns after missing 14 games with a knee injury. He double-doubled on the night, 11 points and 10 assists in just 21 minutes. And as we touched on earlier, a lot of defense played in this one. The Rockets had 90 points at the half. The Warriors scored 88 points in their entire game.
90 points at the half. They pointed out on the telecast that Mike D'Antoni, when he had his Phoenix Suns teams, was the fastest pace in the NBA. You know, people thought it was kind of earth-shattering. He's doing something different with Steve Nash. His whole philosophy of basketball was pick up the pace and that sort of thing. That team with Steve Nash, that was the fastest in the NBA, I believe it was 1998, would be the 26th ranked team in terms of pace. The whole NBA is going this way, where it looks more and more like pickup basketball. That Rockets-Phoenix Suns game looked like pickup basketball.
There's not as less, fun to watch for me.
Well, there are less centers. I mean, you watch Cleveland, I bring this up all the time. Cleveland goes with a lineup where it's like LeBron, Jeff Green, and three guards.
Yeah.
So they don't play centers. It's not dumping it down low. You watch, and these are sometimes the best players in the league. You watch a team like New Orleans, they got Anthony Davis and Boogie Cousins, big guys,
right,
jacking up threes.
Yeah.
Carl Anthony Towns jacks up threes. These centers all shoot threes nowadays.
I don't know how you get so sized. I mean, it looks like an NBA All-Star game every game. Well,
I know, EB, this is EB's favorite story on the sports page. It might be his favorite story of the weekend. The swing analysis game, especially when it comes to Tiger Woods, can be a tricky one. Do you know this more than Golf Channel analyst Brandel Chambly, who has often offered his opinions about Woods' swing? That continued Thursday when Chambly tweeted side-by-side photos of two versions of Woods' swing. Apparently, it caught the interest of Billy Horschel, the four-time PGA Tour winner.
Billy Horschel, by the way, is a known grump.
It agreed the left swing was better, but was curious about Chambly's. I don't even know what this means. He was curious about Chambly's TrackMan drunk determination for the right motion.
Well, because TrackMan is a device they use to kind of video your swing, get all these numbers crunched and everything out of it.
I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, yeah. So figure out your spin rate.
They're relying on sort of the analytics to produce a swing. Yeah. That's what
launch angle, smash factor.
Brandel saying this story is going to bore the average person.
Oh, of
the
course.
Bottom line is that Brandel Chambly is a Tiger troll on Golf Channel. He's been that way for 10 years. It's how he's made a name for himself. Horschel kind of sticking up for Tiger a little bit. The players realize it, and they also notice, as he points out, that Brandel's never on the range. He never talks to the guys. He just sits. He's like us. He just sits there behind the microphone, behind the camera.
He's Jones.
He's like you. He looks at the box score and then does analysis.
Yeah,
the game.
Jason does.
But then Horschel backed off.
His quote was,
they were playing nice.
Horschel's quote was, Chambly is a ghost on the range.
Yeah. But they always do. The guy's always Jones on him, too, because I think Chambly.
But Chambly said, I spent a lifetime on the range, my friend.
He did. And Chambly did play on tour. I mean, so he didn't have an amazing career by any stretch. He might have eked out one win on tour. He might have.
I think he had one.
I think he might have eked out one win, which is still remarkable.
Trust me.
He played on the PGA Tour, but the players, they Jones.
That was the last and the least story on the sports page.
Yeah. I don't even think he should have done it.
Yeah, but Horschel backed off and said, you do a great job with stats and looking at all the data. Probably best in the business. So he started kissing up.
Well, they're trying to play nice because Twitter wars are embarrassing. When you go back and forth with people, it's just embarrassing. I'm guilty of it at times, but try to stay away from it.
Don't take the bait.
Yeah, you can't take the bait. Yeah, there's nothing
today
worse.
The Tiger tournament?
No.
No, the 30th.
Yeah, come on.
Sorry. I mean, come on. Mark it on your calendar.
He's going to get
attacked. Come on, man. Plus, we're working on an appearance.
I'll stick up for JP. You don't need to know the date of the Hero Championship.
Well, you will when we set up our appearance. Oh, yeah. Now, we're in negotiations. Maybe you won't go.
Now, if it's a paid appearance, I'll generally go.
You'll miss the tee time.
All of a sudden, you'll be interested.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you'll be interested.
He won't be interested. Yeah. He'll be present.
I'll be there.
He'll be interested.
I'll have my face buried in my phone.
If there's a good turnout, there might be four appearances in a row.
Right.
Well, I'm sized for four straight appearances.
Exactly.
By the way, EB gets killed for being on his phone the most. I will say, when we met with our agent the other day, Cakes had his head buried in his phone a lot. Slightly disrespectful.
Not disrespectful at all. I have to keep in touch with the outside world.
But things are happening.
Even though we're eating with our agent.
He's talking about important business. And Cakes is looking at his stock.
I was digesting all of it.
Whatever he was doing.
I was digesting that along with the Korean.
It was a bit of a show.
I was digesting.
Checking the waiver wire.
If I was your parent, I would have grilled you.
Who cares? Everybody looks at their phones when they eat. I was digesting everything he was telling me along with my spicy chicken tacos at Bon John.
Those tacos I had, whatever they were good.
They were good.
I don't think I had the spicy chicken, though. I think I had,
you had the bulgogi.
I think you had Korean tacos.
I think I had the bulgogi.
Jason had bulgogi. Korean tacos. Somebody had Korean tacos.
Yeah, I think they were Korean, but I think
they're
definitely
Korean tacos.
Bulgogi, I think. It was the first time I ever had it. Yeah. Very good. All right, highly recommend.
It's good.
We will talk movies coming up at 7. Kevin's going to join us. JP Finley covers the Redskins for NBC Sports Washington at 7:20.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.